Welcome to Business on the Brink, a production from iHeartRadio and How Stuff Works.
So.
Yeah. I guess this is Business on the Brink on Business on the Brink. Hey, everybody, I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Ariel Kasten, and I guess we have some news for you guys.
Yeah, this one is not a listener request,
no.
or if it was, it's the meanest listener request we ever got.
Oh, geez, that would be pretty funny, though.
No, but so here's the story. We could say the show is being put on pause. That's the way it was described to me. But I think, to be fair, saying it's going away is more accurate.
Yeah, that was how it was put to me.
Yeah. So. This episode is actually our final episode. Of course, never say never. You never know. There might become a time where this gets revisited and we're going to do it again. But we thought that it was a good idea for us to record a final episode because I don't know about you, Ariel. There have been shows that I've listened to that just stopped, and I didn't know what happened.
Yeah. I always like some sort of resolution. And, you know, also I personally kind of want to talk about this journey because it's been really interesting and I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And this is again, it's we respect you guys, our audience, so much. We are going to have a lot to talk about you guys in particular.
Yeah.
It's just, here's the thing. We love you. You're all amazing. You're all special. There's just not enough of you. but let's be transparent. The way podcasting works is that you need to develop a certain level of audience in order for there to be a right balance between how much it costs to do the show and how much you're making in revenue from the show.
Yeah.
And just like any business, if that doesn't balance out, eventually you have to make some tough decisions.
And you do have podcasts that are labors of love, you know, and certainly I loved doing Business on the Brink, but we were created as a part of a business.
Yeah, we're part of a larger podcast network. Like if this were an independent thing where it's just me and you, Ariel, we probably could have kept going and been like, well, yeah, we're not making money on this, but we just enjoy doing it. But we're not part of that. We're part of the bigger network that has very real concerns. They have to answer to stakeholders. So this is no reflection on the company. We're not here to throw iHeartMedia under the bus, particularly since I still work for them.
Yep. And this is not throwing any of you under the bus because so many of you have written in saying, you know, I've been listening since the beginning and man, do we appreciate that.
Very much. So we're going to take you on a bit of a journey as to how this show came together in the first place. And this journey actually starts way, way before there was a Business on the Brink, even before there was the precursor show that led into Business on the Brink. I think really this history starts with me and you, Ariel, as friends.
I think so, yeah. We started working together.
Yeah, at the Georgia Renaissance Festival?
Well, I think at the Atlanta Radio Theater Company.
Well, technically, well, I guess it was right around the same time, yeah.
Right around the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, figuring out which came first is splitting hairs.
Right. And my memory is so bad. But, I mean, it was 2001 was your first season.
It was,
Renaissance Festival. Okay, so I had worked 99 to 2001. So I was getting out of the festival just as you were getting in.
Mm-hmm.
I did come back while you were still there.
Yeah.
So we worked a season together. We weren't, like, super close that first season.
No.
We probably chatted maybe a couple times, but we weren't like super tight.
And I had gone to the fair before and seen you work, and I thought you were awesome, not like creepy stalkery awesome.
No, you were creepy stalkering someone else on the cast. It was just
no, don't people will believe you, Jonathan?
Okay. No. I won't say Ariel, but people have told me that they had a crush on my character, not on me, on the character.
Anyhow.
Yeah. So
anyhow, and my first production with the Atlanta Radio Theater Company was a staged production of something called Romeo and Ethel, the Pirate's Daughter.
Right. Which I was also in as Mr. Byron, as I recall. Was that when I was also Admiral Big Ben? Was that?
Maybe.
Because there was one production of that where my dad played that character. And then there was the second production of it where I played that character. And I can't remember which one was which at this point. No, that must have been the second production, because the first production is what led me into working at the Renaissance Festival in the first place.
It's all secular.
Yeah, it is.
Circular.
So Ariel,
cyclical.
Ariel and
I can never say that, guys.
Ariel and I did several theatrical productions together. Mm-hmm. We got closer at the Atlanta Radio Theater Company. I would write pieces. Ariel would be in pieces. Sometimes we would be in pieces together. Mm-hmm. And we found that we just had a really good chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because Jonathan's awesome.
Ariel's also
awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Well, it's true. I mean, you are awesome.
Yeah.
So we did several plays and radio plays together, radio comedies together. And we just found that we really enjoyed working with one another. We could finish each other's sandwiches.
And Yeah. No, we can't. Because you're like tomatoes, Jonathan.
That's true. Yeah, and Ariel's allergic. But yeah, we had a lot of good interactions. Mm-hmm. And then skip ahead, because, I mean, our friendship stuck together. Like, once we were working together at Artsy, that's really where our friendship formed.
Yeah.
And then we remained friends while I came back to the festival. You were still working there.
It's almost 20 years now.
I know.
Gosh.
20 years.
Anyhow, skipping forward.
So then Ariel comes to me with a show idea several years ago.
Yeah.
This is, again, before we started doing a podcast.
More than I'd like to admit. Yeah, I wanted to do a video series. And I had this idea that maybe we'd take these like, geeky properties and mash them up together. So we did a YouTube series. You can actually still find it on YouTube. It's called The Large Neutron Collider.
Yes.
And we did things like what would happen if Ben-Hur and My Little Ponies got mixed up.
Or what would happen with Thor and Clash of the Titans.
Or Firefly and Game of Thrones, which is so sad.
That's my favorite sight gag that we ever did. So really it was an excuse to do two things. One, talk about stuff we loved, like, you know, geek properties that we truly loved, and we got to gush about them. So each episode was structured so we would talk about – we would do an introduction. We would then give the research section, which Ariel was always in the fiction of the show. She was always the most excited about, and I hated.
Yes.
In the fiction of the show.
Well, that's because you were doing most of the research at the time, Jonathan.
But it was – I mean, it was research into stuff that I loved. So it really wasn't – I really was playing a grouch, but I wasn't actually grouchy about it. And then we would do a cut to whatever the gag was based on the combination of these two things. And then we would have a conclusion. And the Game of Thrones Firefly one had my favorite sight gag. I will not spoil it in case you guys want to go out and find that.
Which you totally should.
Yeah. The episode that I think is the best one that we did of that was The Seven Sons of the Seven Samurai.
I agree. It's different than the rest of what we did for that. But it is really – it's really pretty cool and very informative. But you know what? Here's the thing. When you use college student, very professional and awesome videographers, they move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, and then you're stuck with a lot of equipment that you don't really know how to use properly. So, yeah, we had a great editor and producer who did amazing work with that video. It's why it looks so good. And then he goes off and a combination of things, lack of time and lack of expertise using the equipment meant that it kind of fell to the wayside. But what we decided to do is we also launched a companion audio podcast called Large Neutron Collider, which also is still out there.
Yeah.
But
yeah. LargeNeutronCollider.com.
But it was a geek news podcast.
It was. So really, we'd just look at all of the articles that came out and all of the news that came out during the week, and then we'd talk about it.
Yeah.
And it started off around 45 minutes, and it, you know, the thing is, geek culture has become so prevalent that we'd end up talking for like 2 hours.
Yeah. And this was back when, like, the MCU was just really starting to pick up, and just when, like, we would constantly have these discussions about how the MCU was getting everything right and the DC universe got everything wrong. Whereas today you could say, oh, it's the same.
Yeah.
But that was the show. We did that for a while. And
about 2.5 years.
Yeah. And in fact, we were still going strong when the company I work for went through some changes. And as part of that, like, our work agreements changed as well. And part of that was that, you know, you couldn't compete against the company, right? You couldn't make a competing thing. I couldn't go out and start a podcast on a competing podcast network. It's a conflict of interest. I'm an employee of iHeartMedia. Totally reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Makes
complete sense.
Yeah. No hard shakes on that. But this was a little personal podcast that you and I were doing. That I was like, I was paying the hosting fees out of pocket because I love doing it.
Me too.
And we weren't monetized at all.
No.
And it was a very modest audience base, smaller than what we have for Business on the Brink.
Quite a bit smaller.
Yeah. So I then contacted the head of podcasting at all of iHeartMedia. It's not that big a deal. He actually sits not that far away from me. And I asked if I could still continue to do that show.
Because Jonathan is a very good friend to me.
And I wanted to make sure, like, I wanted to keep doing the show, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't stepping on toes.
Mm-hmm.
The response we got was, you two are really good together. You and Ariel are really good together. And we think that you guys should do a show for us.
To which I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll explain more about how that unfolded in just a second. But first, let's take a quick break. Okay, so I left off with, like, the cliffhanger of him saying that we worked really well together. So the initial plan was that we were going to launch a new version of Large Neutron Collider.
Yes.
That was the plan.
Super excited about it.
Yeah. However, before we could get very far into the process of developing that show, the opportunity arose for us to do The Brink.
The Brink. Yeah. Business on the Brink.
This was one.
Known.
Exactly. Yeah. It was back then, it was just called The Brink. Now it's Business on the Brink. But the powers that be came to us and said, we would love for you guys. We really want to do this show. We got a great idea for a show. We think you guys would be the perfect hosts for it. And so we said, all right, we'll give this a try. Yeah. It's not immediately in our wheelhouse, but we thought the process of learning about these businesses would be something we could communicate to listeners.
Yeah, and I want to put a little aside in here. I knew I would enjoy doing this podcast. I love learning about things in general. The more the better. I've really enjoyed learning about a lot of these businesses. It's so fun and so juicy. And
yeah. There were more than a few times where we got into the weeds on some of these businesses and we're like, no wonder there are these television series and movies that have these crazy dramatic turns in them for these like cutthroat business deals and stuff. Because when you start learning about what really goes on in some of these businesses, you realize it's not that far off from the fictional portrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. And we came up with a list of a few topics we wanted to cover kind of as our test episodes. And you got to hear some of those. The biggest one was Disney.
Yeah. Let's tell the story about the Disney pilot. How many times did we record that? I think you're right. I think it was four times.
So we recorded it as a script, and then we recorded it as a slightly more conversational script, and then we recorded it as kind of conversational, but based off of that script.
Yeah, we were trying to get further away from it sounding like we were just reciting paragraphs. We did not want that. We wanted, because, I mean, one of the whole reasons why they came to us is because they liked the back and forth we had. So
our sandwiches.
Yeah. So scripting it out kind of defeated that purpose. But at the same time, we were also dealing with subject matter that the two of us weren't so deeply ingrained in.
Yeah. The script is sort of like a safety net.
Yeah. And we stuck to it way too much on that first
way
recording.
Way too much.
And Tyler, who at the time was overseeing the production side of things, actually, at first, I was supposed to edit everything, but it quickly became clear that the editing suite used by iHeart's podcast group was just different enough from the editing tools that I used for the Large Neutron Collider podcast that I was making it take about three times longer than it needed to.
And, which is not, you know, business sound.
Yeah. And I also have other
responsibilities
at this company. So it was quickly becoming apparent that it was not something I was going to be able to sustain for any length of time.
So Tyler stepped in to help out.
Yeah. And one of his first notes is, y'all talk too much.
Which you guys know.
Yeah, totally legit. Totally legit. It was the, like, I was used to recording episodes that were about 45 minutes long, but the goal was always to get it as close to half an hour as we possibly could.
Yeah.
Which you guys know, if you've been listening, don't happen all that often.
It turns out it's really hard to cover the history of a business in 30 minutes. And, you know, one of the notes we got was to just jump right to the brink moment and just talk about that. But both Jonathan and I agreed that it's really difficult to understand how a company fell into the brink or came back from the brink without knowing how they got there in the first place.
Yeah, and we both felt that without the context, it's not meaningful.
Exactly.
If we don't set up the foundation, then there are no stakes. Like, we're talking about this in a lot of narrative terms, but that's really what podcasting is all about. It's like creating a narrative. Even with a conversation between people, there's sort of a narrative there. And we just realized, like, I don't have enough to say about the singular moment, if there in fact is one. Also, as I'm sure many of you have realized during the episodes of The Brink, rarely is there a singular, like,
most of these companies had multiple times where they almost failed or greatly succeeded.
Yeah, so. And there usually were multiple factors that contributed, right? So you couldn't just say, because this guy had this idea, the company did well. It's never that simple. And it's just like, you know, anything else in life. When we tell stories, we like there to be a beginning, a middle, and an end. We like there to be a clear moral.
Yeah.
Real life does not unfold that way.
Unfortunately, which makes it really, you know, it's very time-consuming to research an episode.
Yes, yes. And Ariel knows that better than anyone because out of the – we recorded, what, 55 episodes?
Yes. So this is our 55th episode.
Out of 55 episodes, I'd say Ariel wrote 52 of them.
including some of the really bad ones, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, that's – there's no guarantee that the three that I wrote were any good. So – tell us a little bit about the process of researching and writing an episode.
All right. So when we started, Jonathan and I were picking the topics. We'd scour the internet for stories that were hitting the news or companies that had made lists, sort of a stepping off point of companies we wanted to cover. And we'd make a list. We'd try to shake them up for you so you weren't getting too many computer companies or too many
food companies
or, in a row.
Yeah.
And then I would sit down. And at first we actually had some researchers helping us out. So they'd find a bunch of articles for us to go through and look at and shows to watch and things like that. And we'd collect all that material and try to take that giant jumble of material and put it into a linear format.
Yeah.
Eventually that all fell to me. So I'd make Jonathan and I a nice little spreadsheet and share it. Google Docs is my friend. Find a bunch of different articles from reputable sources and, you know, some sources where you question, so you have to double check.
Which is why we often will say, like, we don't exactly know when this happened because no one kept good records.
Yes.
Because we always try to be transparent about that as opposed to, like, there's some sites out there that will categorically state something as a fact when it is unsubstantiated. We wanted to avoid that as much as we could.
And the way I like to work is generally for most companies, you can find some sort of timeline. You can usually find a few. And so I like marking out those big points and then filling all of the information in between those big points. Mm-hmm. It kind of helps me stay on task and organize everything. And then, yeah, you just get to it, reading, writing, and anything that sticks out to you is something you remember, is something you put down.
Yeah. And ideally, when structuring a show, and you guys probably noticed this too, ideally, we wanted to have a lead in, kind of almost like a cliffhanger mm-hmm. for the brink, and preferably do that before either the first break or sometimes the second break if the brink was, you know, one of those things where a company was very rapidly falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to save the brink moment before the second break because you won't have a whole lot to talk about
yeah.
after that.
Yeah.
But that was another part of structuring a show. It wasn't just doing research and filling mm-hmm. out some interesting data points. It was thinking, how can I structure this almost like it's a television show where there's like a three-act structure?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and so we would. There'd be multiple times where we'd research a topic and say, no, we need to rethink how we present this one because it's not fitting our normal structure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, our introductions. So that's always the last thing I'd do when researching a topic is I'd write our introduction.
Yeah, the ones that have the terrible puns in them.
Yes. Wonderful puns. They're wonderful puns,
I've gotten soured on puns recently, and that hurts coming from me. People who have listened to me long enough know that I do love puns, but man, I've been punished by them recently.
Oh, sadness.
Yeah.
So that's generally how we put it together, and then Jonathan and I would get together, talk about anything we had questions about, and get to it.
Yeah, typically Ariel would finish it. She'd send me a note, and I would go in, and I would read over the notes and add a few things here mm-hmm. or there.
Or fact check.
Yeah. So usually I would say like a typical episode was like 95% Ariel and 5% me.
You're 5% so important, Jonathan.
Well, they're mostly bad jokes, but yeah, I'd throw them in there now and then. Or like I would just find like a neat fact that Ariel probably came across too, but I just would decide I'm going to include this, whereas Ariel probably thought like, oh, we can leave this
part
out.
We can skip this.
Yeah. So really it was just another stopgap and things like, well, no, I think we could have something interesting to say about this thing. And so we'd script it out, come into the studio, sit down. Tari became our producer. She generously agreed mm-hmm. to dedicate her time, energy, and skills.
She's making faces right now.
Yeah, she's listening to us on the other side of a pane of glass right now and rolling her eyes. And, you know, she's making the friend's double fist move at me and... she's laughing because she's not really doing that at me right now, but
she's thinking about it.
Yeah, so that's her.
Well, that we can't even say that on the air.
We can't tell about what she's doing now, but no, it's she's been great, and she jumped in and would do edits and stuff. So whenever we would stumble and we have to retake something, she was the one making sure that all that was taken care of. Once that was done, there were a couple of other steps, which I guess we can talk about when we come back from this break. So after we sat down to record an episode, where typically we would throw a couple of more jokes in, like it's mm-hmm. so funny because Ariel worked so hard timing these things out where if we did it the way she had constructed the notes, it'd probably be about a half hour.
I'm like 2 pages per segment. That'll equal about 10 minutes.
But then we would throw in other references or questions
or go
jokes,
off on a tangent.
Go down rabbit holes. Yeah. And then we would end up with the 45-minute long episodes, which Tyler continued to remind us were too long.
Every once in a while, we'd get about 30, 35.
And to be fair, Tyler wasn't being hard on us or anything. He was concerned about our time and, mm-hmm. you know, the amount of work we were doing. I think one of the issues is that sometimes people think that doing a shorter podcast takes less time than doing a longer podcast.
It really doesn't.
Yeah, because you still have to decide what goes in. And it's the research that really takes the most time, research and writing. And even while you're doing the writing process, you might think, oh, well, I just need to write 30 minutes of material, not 45 minutes of material. You still got to decide which material goes in and mm-hmm. which material doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, you want to make sure that you ingest everything so you're not leaving out a really important fact.
Yeah. So after we would record and after Tari would do her Tari magic on it, she would then send a version of the recorded podcast out for QA, quality analysis. And Ariel and I split that duty 50-50 if Ariel carried both 50s.
Oh, you you've done a couple of QA. Like when I had my oral surgery, you did some QA. Fun peek behind the curtain. I'm currently QAing some of our final episodes.
Yeah, before before this one publishes. Yeah. And then once that was done and once we had given the thumbs up, assuming everything was cool, you know, if we didn't have to have anything else removed, you know, maybe every now and then it would be like a weird pause or a stumble or something. But most of the time, everything was gone that we didn't want in there. And then we would publish. And that was the general process. This changed a bit because, you know, we started inviting you guys to write in and suggest. And
boy, did you.
You did. Yeah. In fact, so we recorded 55 episodes. We had more than like twice that in suggestions.
Yeah, somewhere around 115 suggestions. I've got them all on a spreadsheet. And you guys, so excited to cover these topics.
Yeah, which is fantastic. We're sorry that we won't be able to get to all of them. But it was great to get this kind of response. Like, we weren't sure if we were going to even have anyone writing us in. And yet— we had quite a few, and obviously you've heard us talk about several of the episodes where we've mentioned people who have suggested them. But you've got the list up, right, Ariel?
I do.
Do you have some of the ones that we have not covered that people actually suggested?
Sure. So Amazing Sea Monkeys, Ames Department Store, which is something that if you're not from the North, you probably don't know. Atari, Barnes & Nobles, Barman & Bailey Circus, Bosch & Lomb, Bear, Blockbuster.
Okay, wait. We don't need to make it like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Ah, but it's so fun. Okay, some more fun ones. Chiquita Bananas.
Yeah.
Fender Guitar.
Oh, yeah. Squiggly Diddly Doo.
Yes. Forever 21.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an important one, too.
Harry Potter.
You know, WeWork would have been a good one to cover at this point.
Yeah, we have that on there, but it was totally your suggestion.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? WOW Airlines, which was much like Thomas Cook and kind of disappeared overnight. Target. Sears was a big one. A bunch of people asked for Sears.
We really wanted to do that one, too, because the building we record this in used to be a giant distribution center for Sears in like the 1930s. And it's a huge, huge building. It still has a section where railroad tracks came up to the building so that you could unload railroad cars right into like loading bays in this building. And so we really thought that would be a great one to cover for multiple reasons. I mean, Sears is such an iconic name too. I mean, like the Sears catalog was such an iconic thing that's been mentioned in, you know, fiction, and it kind of was like the ultimate example of catalog culture. But yeah, we never got a chance to do that one.
Yeah, Hello Kitty, Rockstar Energy, Sharper Image, Showbiz Pizza, Six Flags, Standard Oil, even Lionel Trains. So it was fun. We have a couple of people who travel for a living, drive trucks and things like that. And so they would send in stuff like Standard Oil. Now, they'd also send in other topics as well.
Sure.
But it was really interesting as you all shared your stories and what you do and what your interests are to see all of these different companies that maybe would not have come to Jonathan or my mind immediately.
Yeah,
because
especially since, you know, obviously we have the terrible burden of being American, which means that there are a lot of companies out there all over the world that have incredibly compelling stories that we don't really know about because we just never came in contact.
Like CEMEX, which is a cement company in Mexico that we got a suggestion for.
Right, and we had totally planned on doing that. In fact, I think that was going to be our next episode before this. Before we got the note that we were on pause.
Yes, we even got a suggestion to do some sports teams, which would have been fun to watch Jonathan and I navigate through that.
Well, I mean, hey, I'm a fan of a sport.
Which sport?
Hockey.
I like hockey too.
To be fair, I was a fan of that sport. I'm not anymore. And that could have been a story of Business on the Brink. The Thrashers, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Spirit of Atlanta, man, that would have been, well, that would have been a tough episode to do because I don't know that Tari could put that many beeps into an episode. just be me cursing the entire time.
Anyhow, tons of suggestions. I might put them all in a post when this episode airs, just thanking everybody.
Yeah, because we got so much great feedback from you guys and requests and stuff. And we had a lot of very positive emails that came in. Ariel read every single message.
Every single one.
Yeah, and you will continue to do so.
I will.
Here's the thing. By the time you guys hear this, we will have gone for another, like, couple of months because we recorded so many episodes in advance. And that was because we knew that I was going to be on vacation. Mm-hmm. You were going to have some trips and you had surgery.
Yeah.
We had the holidays coming up. So we had built a huge buffer. In fact, I think this episode right now, if I'm not mistaken, will publish December 9th.
I believe so.
We're recording it October 22nd. So that means that between October 22nd and December 9th, you guys may have been sending us messages, which we're still reading.
Yeah. I mean, if you send one, you probably have noticed if I've made that post that you're thanked.
Yeah. But we won't be covering any of your suggestions.
No.
Now, again, never say never. We don't know if this show will return in any sort of format. We did rebrand from The Brink to Business on the Brink. Part of that wasn't just, again, to be transparent. Part of that was an effort to get more visibility, especially because, you know, business podcasts are they're relatively new when you look at the major categories for podcasts.
And then I would say that the people who listen to business podcasts are very split. Some people like history, but some people want, like, actionable items that they can put into their financial situation at that moment.
Sure. And clearly we were falling more on the historical side, which is understandable. I mean, if Ariel and I were giving out, like, actionable advice, chances are we'd have a lot more companies to talk about that fell off the brink because they had been taking our advice and we are not experts.
It would be stuff like take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah. Like, hey, why not be nice for a change, okay?
You know what I do? I put all of my change in a jar.
Yeah.
And then I count it out instead of
all of our money's in mattresses. not in mattress sponsors. Look, literally in mattresses.
When I was a child, I used to save all the change I got. So when I'd visit my grandparents, I could take them to McDonald's and buy everybody sundaes.
Well, that's just incredibly altruistic.
It's great business sense.
Well, so we're sad that this is going away. Mm-hmm. We do still hope to launch Large Neutron Collider.
Yep, and you can. We're still occasionally resharing posts while we're working all those details out. You can keep an eye out at Large Neutron Collider on Facebook.
Yeah,
because we'll put it there.
Yeah, we're working on that. And in fact, as soon as we're finished recording this, we're going to have a bit of a discussion with Tari about ideas for that show, because we've got, you know, we have a basic outline for what we were thinking of for the structure of the show. But getting someone else in besides just the two of us to kind of brainstorm this might mean that we come up with a different approach that ends up being, you know, one that has a better chance at finding success.
Yeah.
Because just like this show, obviously, even if we do launch Large Neutron Collider again, if it's a show that fails to find an audience, then you gotta look at where you're spending your time. And
yeah.
You gotta say, like, is this worth it?
It's been worth it.
Sure, it's been worth
personally.
It from a personal standpoint. it's a tough question to have to ask, and nobody in creative likes to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this about everybody here. Like, I don't think anyone at our company was eager to axe a show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a harsh way of putting it, too. But to cancel any show, I think that a lot of shows can end up going longer than they would have otherwise gone because people really believe in the talent and they really like what's being made. And they're hoping that perhaps an audience will find that show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, you have to admit, there's a ton of stuff out there.
There is. Podcasting is huge.
And beyond that, you have all the other demands for people's attention. You have, you know, you have television, you have movies, you have radio, you have audible books, like audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. You've got BuzzFeed.
There's so much stuff. Instagram, Facebook. There's so much stuff that's battling for our attention that finding, you know, creating something that actually is more than just a little blip on the radar is incredibly challenging. And it's not a commentary on the quality of the product. Sometimes stuff just doesn't find an audience. And it can be really good stuff. So
not to toot our own horns, but
right. I wasn't suggesting necessarily that this show ranked among the really good stuff, but like the idea being that like quality is one thing that you really want for your show, but it doesn't guarantee success. So we do hope to be back talking with one another on this sort of network in the not too distant future.
And hopefully keeping you company on your drives and while doing chores and things like that.
We don't have a date for when that show will launch. The nice thing for you guys who are listening to this right now, it's closer to you than it is to us right now.
Which just means that we'll have plenty of time to perfect it.
Yeah. I can guarantee it will not be launching until sometime in 2020 because I looked at my calendar and there just ain't no way.
Yep.
So, but this was a fun experiment. Neither of us, I think, were really sure when we first started, like how it was going to turn out. And especially by the time we were recording Disney for the third time, we were starting to question it.
Are we sure?
Well, and it was – the problem is that the Disney story, there were two stories we were trying to tell, and that's what was taking up so much time. Story number one was just establishing Walt Disney Studio.
Story number two, as you know, was Snow White.
Yeah, and that just – like while we know that everyone has heard the Walt Disney Studio story several times, it's still one where we were finding facts that were new to us, and that's why we wanted to really dive into it. And ultimately, we're like, well, if the goal is to have Ariel and Jonathan talking about stuff, give us the freedom to do that because otherwise you're not going to get that. but yeah, it also just goes to show podcasting is hard.
Yeah.
You know, but you guys have been awesome. Thank you again. So many folks who have been so supportive. And
yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. And you can still reach out to us. We still have an email address. As far as I know, it has not been deactivated by the time you hear this. So what is that email address, Ariel? One last time.
It is feedback@thebrinkpodcast.show.
Yeah, and of course, we have the website. Is it thebrinkpodcast.show? How can I not know that after 55 episodes?
Well, because we changed our name, Jonathan.
That's true. Yeah, thebrinkpodcast.show is our website. So you can find all of our past episodes. That way, if you've missed one, go back, listen to an oldie but a goodie.
Mm-hmm.
You might see that we've covered something that you really wanted to hear about, or maybe you'll discover something you never knew you wanted to know. And we hope that we will be talking to you again very soon. But definitely reach out. And hey, if you're really upset by this, if show going away has really upset you, tell all your friends to subscribe.
Yeah.
And if those numbers happen to go up monumentally, then we can take it to the powers that be and say, hey, look, our show took off just as we went off the air. And then we'll bring it back.
Yeah.
Or we'll try.
We'll try.
We'll see what we can do.
We'll do our best.
All right. Well, I guess, guys, I have been Jonathan Strickland.
And I've been Ariel Kasten.
And this has been
Business on the Brink. Business on the Brink is a production of iHeartRadio and HowStuffWorks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.